You know, our lives are changed, and so we can give testimony to the life-changing work of God in our life. I want to encourage you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, chapter 6. Book of Isaiah is in the Old Testament, after the book of Psalms. If you have trouble finding it, you can go and look. At the front of every Bible is a table of contents. That's what it's there for, to help you find it, the book of Isaiah. I'm going to be reading from the New American Standard Version, the first 8 verses. What a wonderful experience to go through and see people's profession of faith as we talk about this on Vision Sunday, because ultimately, whatever we are about, it's about God's work in the hearts of people. Philippians 1:6 says, I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will continue to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Now, I have the task today of trying to share with you what's been happening in the lives of about 20 other individuals in Concordia Wesleyan Church that make up our leadership team. And, you know, have you ever been to those places? You've been to a restaurant, and that meal was so wonderful, and you try to tell your friend or family member and said, well, you just would have had to been there, or an experience. And I find myself, as I try to share this on Vision Sunday about what God is doing and what he is birthing in our hearts, saying, I wish you all could have been there. But listen, here's the thing I have for you. God wants you to experience this too. And what I want you to do as we go down through God's word here is invite God to speak to your heart and life and to say, God, what about me? Do you have a place for me in this vision? And I would believe if you ask God for that, he would say, absolutely. Not only do I have a place for you, but I have a place of meaning and significance for you to be a part of what God is calling this church family to do. Would you please stand in honor of the word of God? I'm reading from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 to 8. Isaiah was called very, very difficult times. His nation was turning away from God, and he was called at a time where they lost their leader, and there was a lot of upheaval in the nation of Israel. And it begins by this. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above him. And by the way, that's angels, but that seraphim literally means burning ones. And that's going to be a significance later on. I'll let you make the connection. But the burning angels of God stood above him, each having 6 wings. And with 2 he covered his face, 2 he covered his feet, and with 2 he flew. And one called out to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations and the thresholds trembled at the voice of him who called out, while the temple was filling with smoke. Then I said, Woe is me, for I am a man ruined. I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs. He touched my mouth with it and said, Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away. Your sin is forgiven. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, Here I am. Send me. Father, I thank you that through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we can, with full assurance of our faith, know that our iniquity has been taken away and our sin is forgiven. We no longer feel the fear of the hand of judgment upon our life, but we live under the hand of God's mercy through Jesus Christ. And so, Father, may that bring some impulses in our heart to be about what you are calling your people to be about. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. You can follow along in some of the notes that I have in your worship folder there, but I'd mentioned this leadership team, and here's a picture of several of them up. We've spent several hours together, many nights together, and we are thankful for what God is already doing at Concordia Wesleyan Church, and we've been operating on a mission that says this: we are here to build a community of believers for Jesus Christ in our daily life and to share his love with everyone. And while we fulfill that mission and are about doing that, we also want to create an environment for spiritual growth, because the God who is the creator, the maker of heaven and earth, creates things to grow through systems, and environment matters. And so we say around here that we are a place to be, to believe, to belong, and to become. That place of be. Romans 15:7 says, accept one another just as God in Christ accepted you. Every one of these individuals that gave their testimonies today have found this a place of acceptance. You see it from Lucina, and you see it from Matthew, but you also see, especially in the adult stories, the common story of pain. The pain that is woven through their life, and in many ways, it is the pain that brought them to seek God. We say around here, God never wastes a hurt. And God, through the pain, listen, this life hurts. I want to tell you, when you have the hope of Jesus Christ, life still hurts. Okay? But what we do is, with that hurt, we have a hope that is beyond just the here and now. And I know that some of those that gave their testimony here, it was difficult for them to first come to a worship service like you're sitting in right now. But before they heard the word of God, before the Spirit of God began to talk to them about the conviction of sin and turning and seeing Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on behalf of them, and that he's calling them to a different life, what they experienced was people with name tags on them that said greeter and usher, and they just loved them. And there was somebody that said, hey, we got a welcome bag for you. And then here's what they noticed. They noticed people without the name tags on came up and said, hi, I don't know that I've met you. And they felt welcomed, and they were accepted. And so then they were able to hear the beliefs from God's word so they could put them into action. Now they're seeing that God has a place for them in his body, the church, and they are becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. I'm beginning to say this more and more often, with the difference between what you believe and what you become is where you belong. You look at that in your life. You've got to belong somewhere, and you got to believe some things in order to become the person that God is calling you to be. And I'm so thankful for those that God continues to bring. Listen, last night, 528 children were on this campus last night at Trunk and Treat, and they had a place of acceptance. And they had friendly faces, and they had some candy. Our popcorn people tell me that they popped 61 batches of popcorn to get out for that. I mean, you talk about being under the fire, that's being under the fire. They probably have some burn marks to show for it. But listen, the community came together of believers in Jesus Christ. We had 30 vehicles. We had people doing that, and people, I don't know how many people came and said, thank you for doing this. Thank you for providing this for our community. Those children received a gospel tract that talks about how they too can experience life in Jesus Christ. I want you to encourage to be praying for them. I said in the first service, one of the things that I just love doing ministry with the people here is, if you were here, go back and look at all the people whose children were already raised. And what they're doing is that we have people that have already seen their children go on and stuff. They're not here for their kids. They're here for your kids and the kids of the community, and it allows them to go along and to experience that. I could talk about this for a long time, but I must go on, okay? Here, look in your notes here. The leadership team of Concordia Wesleyan Church, in seeking God and inviting his direction for the future, are united and convinced that we have received a clear focus by which to define our priorities and objectives in pursuing our mission of building a community of believers honoring Jesus Christ and sharing his love for everyone. And that newly defined focus is captured in these words that I'm about to share you. But right now what I'm doing is I'm building anticipation for those words. Can you feel the anticipation coming up? Okay. How did we arrive to this? A lot of prayer. Asking God. We had 35 individuals in our congregation that represented different areas of ministry and different stages in life, and we asked them to begin writing down things. What brings them to this church? What are they seeing in their own life? What ministries seem to be working well for them? What needs are they having in their community? And so we began to look at where God has brought us, what he is doing, And then we said, what needs do you to begin to identify in the community and the people that don't have a church home or are disengaged from Christ? And what does God then begin developing? Another night we said, what is the passion of our heart? And what was interesting is that once we saw everyone's responses, there was a phrase that began to come out that none of us had written down. And that is that one of the things that we see throughout North Central Kansas, you can see it in the world, but listen, this is where we live. These are the people we interact, is the devastating facts, effects of a disintegrating family. And that phrase, disintegrating family, just began to spark a chord in us. And we began to see the Spirit of God begin to say, Concordia Wesleyan Church, I put people in your congregation, I put a heart and a passion within your life to say, you are going to begin reaching out in more intensity and focus toward the disintegrating family. Now, in order to do that, you need to be in strong families yourself. How in the world can we share the hope of Jesus Christ when our marriages are hanging by a thread, when our marriages aren't being honored? And so in the weeks and the months and the years to come, you are going to see by the leading of God us being more focused on how are we going to define and refine our vision to impact and make a difference in the homes of that. And so this newly defined vision is this. We want to be about igniting hope for families. This is what we believe that God is calling us to do throughout this region. Now, that word ignite means to catch fire or to cause to catch fire, to arouse or to inflame. It's an emotion or a situation. I also had in your sermon notes there for you Jeremiah 20, verse 9. We'll talk about Jeremiah in a little bit, but Jeremiah was faced with giving an impossible situation. God had given him words, but he was known as the weeping prophet because he was attacked, and it was a very difficult way for him because of his message. The people turned on him. And there were times in his life where he said, is this really worth it? And here's part of his prayer to God. He says in verse 9 of chapter 20, but if I say I will not mention his word or speak his name anymore, so I'm going to say, I'm just going to be quiet, and I'm going to leave people to their own devices. Here's what he said happens. God's word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones, and I'm weary of holding it in. I can not. And that's what we believe that God is going to ignite within those that call Concordia Wesleyan Church their home, that he's going to ignite a fire in your bones where you say, I have to be a part of this. I am about this in myself, and I'm going to honor Christ in my daily life, but I'm going to take that message and I'm going to share it with those that I have influence with. That word hope. Now, the world thinks of hope as a wish or a feeling, something you have hope. This or that. It's kind of like a wish. But biblically, hope is the confident, joyful expectation that good is coming. It is an overall optimistic attitude about the future based on the goodness, the character, and the promises of God. And that's why our fellow worshipers, John and Robin Macy, can stand at the gravesite of John's brother yesterday morning and grieve. Listen, even when you have hope, life hurts. But they can look beyond the hurt and the pain and to say, because Jesus Christ defeated the grave, I know my brother is in the presence of God today. And it is a hope that holds them. Here's what hope will do for you. It changes how we see ourselves. Didn't you hear that in Shayla's testimony? How once she encountered the hope of Jesus, it's changed her whole identity and how she views herself. Hope changes what we value. Hope affects what we do with our lives, our talents, our time, and our resources. Biblically, it will tell us that this hope, that, by the way, Hebrews 6:19 says it's an anchor for your soul. It will give you joy and peace. It gives us protection, strength, courage, boldness. It gives us endurance, comfort, confidence in the face of death. And it gives us confidence and endurance in being about doing the things that God has called us to do. Because here's what we know. Without Christ, there is no hope. Without Christ, there is no hope. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, the first part of that, it says, in those days you were living apart from Christ. What was the result of living apart from Christ? The last part of that verse tells us, you lived in this world without God and without hope. And what an awful way to live, to not have hope. As we begin to look at this idea of hope and igniting hope, I begin to think about a verse that my wife introduced me to. And it sat on our fridge for years before we adopted children. It was Psalm 68:6, just the first part of it. It says, God takes the lonely and he places them in families. I have it in your notes here out of the New American Standard. It says in verse 5, God is a father of the fatherless, a judge for the widows. Is God in his holy habitation? Notice this, God makes a home for the lonely. He leads out the prisoners into prosperity. Only the rebellious dwell in a parched land. So if you're going to say, God, I'm going to rebel against you and I don't want anything, you're asking and you're inviting a dry, sun-scorched land to come into your life. But God makes a home. God places the lonely in families. You can see that through some of the emphasis we've already been doing as a church. Operation Christmas Child, somewhere between 120 and 130 shoeboxes are going out from this church into third world countries to give a little bit of hope and the message of Jesus Christ throughout the world. You're going to see it and you're going to hear about it the last Sunday, I believe, in November, when Krista Bryant will be up here and tell us about Angel Tree, where she'll make a personal visit to a home where a child is there whose parent is incarcerated. And you will be the ones that will provide a home in the name of their parent who has signed up with prison fellowship and that says, will the church please help bring a little bit of Christmas joy to my child. And so while they're being ministered to in prison, the church throughout the world, but throughout locally here, we'll be doing that here. I told him in the early service, you know, sometimes you guys get a little frustrated because all the angels are taken off the tree sometimes before you get here. Last Sunday in November, be at the early service, 9:15. You can get an angel. You know, in fact, we coined a saying. We said, the early bird gets the angel around here, okay? All right? You guys have been great. We do this through our children's ministry, through World Vision, sponsorship of children. James 1:27 says this is pure and undefiled religion to take care of orphans, to take care of widows. Because don't you ever think that a family is just a mom and dad and their kids. There are a lot of single people that need a home, and they are some of the most loneliest in our community. And so we're going to be asking God, what would you have us do for those homes of single individuals? We can't do it all, but God, we believe that just assuredly as you put this fire within us, you're going to call us and you're going to lead us and you're going to guide us. One of the things that a couple different groups noticed is the amount of people already in our congregation who have adopted children. And to the best of my count, now I'm not talking about adults that themselves have been adopted, because we have some of those as well. But there are parents in homes right now that currently have adopted children. Are you ready for this? 24 children have found a home through people in this church through adoption. Isn't that incredible? This hasn't been through any organized program. Let's just say, you know, the adopted people get a little bit higher status. They get a parking spot. They get their... No. That's not what it is. It's just what God is doing in their heart and their life. God has already put this heart within us. And what he was just saying is this. God has been saying, look at what I'm doing with you. I'm filling your life and your body with people that say... I already know we have others in our church that would love to adopt. They are inviting God, and for a time God has said no. But listen, they've been supportive, they've been praying, and they've continued to be open to God. I can tell the igniting of the fire is starting already, because some of you are already fanning the flames, aren't you? Is it warm in here? Okay. All right. Somebody that knows how to turn on the air conditioner, let's get the air conditioner going, because I'm just getting ready to heat up, okay? All right? Yeah, Pastor Josh, thank you, okay? All right. Where was I? Okay. So Isaiah gets this vision. of God in very tumultuous times. He's seen things going the wrong way. And all of a sudden, God taps upon his heart and says, I'm going to show you a vision of myself. And when he sees God and for who he is, he begins to look at himself first and he goes, who am I? Who am I to think that I can do anything? Who am I that God could use me? And what we begin to find out is that his response, when he says, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And then I said, here I am, send me. There are two right responses to a God-given vision. And we see this in Isaiah. By the way, that was... And the first is, who am I? I don't think if we ask that question, I don't think we're ready to go forward in this vision process of what God is calling us to. Now, there's a couple answers. I'm not much. I'm worthless. I don't have much to offer. I guess when I look at who I am and what God's called me, there's absolutely, I am inadequate and there is no way. But that's not what Isaiah did. He said, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. And then you see what God did? God came and he used these hot coals as a symbol by the burning ones that came and put it on. And he goes, I have forgiven your sin and I have cleansed your iniquity. And then God asked him another question. See, here's what we have to do. I am should bring us to a place of humility. To say, God, when I look at what you've called me to do, there's absolutely no way. I do not have the resources. I don't have the ability. I don't have what is needed. I don't have the past. There's so much that I don't have. So when I look to you, that who am I should lead me in humility to say, who's God? And see, what made the difference is that Isaiah saw the Lord, holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty. And when he saw who God was and who he was, he said he began to have a hope that God would do something that was beyond his ability. And you see this as a pattern in Scripture. David went before and he sat before the Lord and he prayed, who am I, Lord, sovereign God? And what is my family that you have brought me this far? This is when he was giving praise to what God was going to do in his life in the building of the temple. You see it in the life of Moses, who had tried to do something for God and failed, and for 40 years sat on the backside of a desert, and all of a sudden God comes to him in a burning bush. But Moses said to him, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And then God takes him through a process to say, Moses, the question is not who you are, but who I am. And will you trust and will you humble your life and will you go back and do what I've called you to do? Then you see it in Jeremiah. And when God is telling him, I've set you apart from your mother's womb. And he goes, alas, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I'm too young. But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm too young. You must go to everyone I send you and say whatever I command you. Notice this, do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Listen, whatever God requires, God provides. There are so many miracles in the Bible that God says, what do you got? And once you give me what you have, I will give you what I have, and I will do the miraculous in your life. That's what we are believing God to do. If we look at ourselves, we don't have what it takes to ignite hope for families across North Central Kansas. When we look at ourselves, we only see our ability, but what we're saying, God, we're going to step out in faith, and we're going to begin trusting you. And that leads us to this next phrase. Isaiah said, here I am, send me. And this is the statement of faith. This is what I am inviting you to do, what the leadership team of Concordia Wesleyan Church is inviting you to begin to say, God, who am I? Let me have a heart of humility. How do you know if you have a heart of humility or whether you just want to make yourself a name? How do you know you have a heart of humility or you're dealing with your unworthiness? And I'll give you a little clue. What do you do when you realize who you are? Do you humble yourself to God and say, but God, this is who you're making me to be. This is what you're calling me to be. And I put my trust in you. Because here's what it'll lead you to do. You'll say, God, here I am. I don't see what you're going to do for me, through me or in me. But here I am. And if you can use me, send me. That only comes from a humble heart. And I want you to hear this. We do not want you to do anything or be anybody that God is not calling you to be. So invite God's presence into your life. Say, God, what is that? But I also want you to hear this. We do not want you to do anything or be anything less than God is calling you to be. Here I am. Send me. God always, always, always starts where you are. If God is one who makes a home for families, if God is one who takes the lonely and places his family in families, then what should his people look like? We should be about making home for those that are lonely. We should be out inviting those that don't yet belong. You know, we're going to have a lot of people over Thanksgiving from my wife's side of the family, and we're looking at where we're going to put them, what are we going to eat, where's everyone going to sleep, what are we going to do with their dogs, you know, all those kind of things. You do that for family. Here's how you need to begin thinking. There's people that are a part of our church family that aren't here yet. There are people that are part of our church family that we don't know yet. Remember how we were a couple weeks ago? We said the call to Christ is to stretch out our arms and follow Jesus. And that's what we're trying to do to the best of our heart's knowledge. We're saying, God, we're going to follow you. Now, in order for us to make a home, here's another thing that became abundantly clear. As we begin to look at our past, for 35, 40 years, this congregation has been saying, we need to do something about this facility. We begin asking the question, what does this facility facilitate? What accommodations are we making? And to the glory of God, we have done, under God's direction, a lot. But you begin to hear about some of the ideas and ministries that have, you realize there are things that we could do that we're not doing. There are concessions that we are making to this facility that are that we say, God, we believe we're going to reach more people for you and for the glory of God. And so, you know, we purchased land. You know that we're going to look at that. So a part of this igniting hope for families, we are also going to be having what we're calling an Ignite Hope campaign. And so what is God doing? Here's what he's doing within our leadership. He's begun stirring up people that said, and this isn't something orchestrated. This is people that are coming up and begin to say, it's time. It's time. It's time that we are the generation that says we are not content with just our own families going to heaven. We are not content staying where we're at. There are so many people that need to know the gospel and have the hope of Jesus Christ. They're your neighbors. They go to school with your kids or your grandkids, or you see them in various ways. And so we are going to say, we're going to start raising the resources for what God has. We don't have a lot of details. We're just saying, God, we're going to follow you in obedience. And one of the first people that God tapped and said, here I am, send me, is Kevin Johnson. I'm going to bring him up here. And I want to let you know that, Kevin, I'm going to turn the mic over to him. But listen, I know personally this man has given up some things that are very near to him because he says, I'm going to seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. And there are some things that weren't easy, but he said, we're not doing this because it's easy. We're doing this because we feel like we have a clear mandate from God that this is what he's calling us to do. And so, with humility and grace, and let me say this, Kevin does not have what it takes to chair this campaign. He told me in the first service I could say it twice, but I think we get it, right? But listen, we don't have what it takes to do what God has already been doing in this church. Here's what the staff hears a lot. We don't have what it takes to do next Sunday. Everything we do relies upon God. And so listen to Kevin and see his heart and his passion as he begins to share with us what God has laid on his heart.
Good morning. I have to say I feel a bit like Moses and David that Pastor David already referred to when called by God to do a much bigger task than I am capable of doing, because I'm not. And I guess in that response, like Moses and David said, I say, who am I? I'm truly humbled to stand before you this morning. The Lord has led Concordia Wesleyan Church through an amazing journey these last several years. We have been obedient to walk through the doors that he has opened, from the purchase of an amazing piece of land for an amazing price, to leading us to Christian Investors Financial as a consultant, to these last months of vision casting meetings, all of these events have been clearly orchestrated by God. Just like God placed Esther in a certain time and place for a certain purpose, I strongly believe that God has placed us all here at Concordia Wesleyan Church for just such a time as this. God has spoken to us clearly. God has spoken to us just as clearly as I am speaking to you right now. The Lord has confirmed his call in our church miraculously and with amazing clarity. It has been confirmed and reaffirmed in so many different ways. The Lord has called Concordia Wesleyan Church to reach the families of North Central Kansas in new and exciting ways. Families are under attack and disintegrating all over our country, and North Central Kansas and Concordia, Kansas are no exceptions. I'm going to digress a little bit from my script, so be careful, so watch out. I'm so proud of Matthew and Lucina. I'm proud of Matt and Sandra. But you guys, they are the lucky ones. I have hundreds of kids come through my classroom every day that are lost from broken and disintegrating families. And we have to do more. We have to. Our vision is igniting hope for families. Another way that God has confirmed his call has been the gathering of his people to form a leadership team. Their response has been, "Here am I, send me." At this time, I want to introduce the leadership team and have them briefly share with you. Steve and Krista, would you come forward, please? Steve and Krista Bryant are the co-chairs of our prayer team. They have already been a huge encouragement to the entire team as well as to me personally. Steve and Krista.
Krista and I were tasked with focusing the prayers of this church on this project. And in order to elucidate that vision and make that happen, we recruited a small team to gather around us to help us accomplish that. But it is just that, a small team. And so what we're going to be doing and asking you to do is enlarge that, make that vision greater. We know how important prayer is to God. In Revelation chapter 5, verses 7 and 8, it says, "And he, Christ, came and took the book out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. When he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which were the prayers of the saints." God knows how important prayer is because the four living creatures and the 24 elders who stand closest to the throne value and cherish your prayers and hold them up before God. In the book of Nehemiah, he was the cupbearer to the king, and he went before the king, and the king said, "Nehemiah, you look sad today." And Nehemiah's response was, "I am sad because the city of where I was born, where the tombs of my elders are, is in devastation and desolation. How can I not be sad?" And the king said, "What is your request?" And Nehemiah records in his book, "And I prayed to God and said," that was an emergency prayer. He was on the spot, and he had to pray for right now. But we know that prayer takes all kinds of forms. In Luke chapter 6, verses 12 and 13, Jesus went by himself alone to pray all night. And when his prayers were completed, he came back and chose the 12 disciples. So we know prayer is important. I also want to emphasize that we are asking you to seriously and prayerfully commit to prayer. And with that in mind, we have prayer cards. If you feel that commitment, we want you to pick up a prayer card, fill it out, and give it back to us so we can notify you about that. But I want you to know that if you pick up this responsibility. On each one's breastplate of righteousness, you get a badge of honor. And the badge is emblazoned prayer warrior.
At the table in the foyer, we have prayer cards. They look a lot like your communication cards, so don't get them confused. Those cards are back there for you to sign up as a commitment to pray. They're there for you to pick up. If you feel already today that you would like to fill that out and leave it with us, certainly you're welcome to do that. But we would also like for you to just pick it up and take it home and pray about that, because your prayers really are going to be important. We don't want this to be a spur of the moment commitment. We want this to be something that you will commit to pray. As the small team gets together, we're going to be asking people to pray for very specific things. This is really the prayers for this campaign. The other prayer ministries of this church will continue as they have. The prayer chain, frontline prayer, the prayers before church, that continues. But this is specifically for the direction of our church and the vision of our church. So we would like for you to pick up the card, to think about it, and next week, if you feel led that you could do that, because we're going to send you requests every week, say, pray for this. This is where we are. This is what we want you to pray for. So we'll be back in the foyer, and please feel free to pick up that card and do with it what God leads you to do.
Thank you. Marilyn Howard, would you come forward? Under the umbrella of communications, Marilyn Howard is our publishing coordinator, and so you're going to hear a lot from her, but I want her to share with you.
Morning. I just want to say, you guys, that sitting through these meetings with the leadership, I have never in all my life witnessed the power of the Holy Spirit so precisely, and it was so humbling for me, and yet exciting, because I can tell you, God is moving in this body of Christ. He is going to do a powerful work through each and every one of us. And I have the privilege of sharing the things, communicating to you the things that God is doing through us and the things that He still wants to do through us. And so when you came in this morning, you had a card sitting on your chair that looks like this. And I know that we have asked you in the past to fill out and give us your information, but we're growing and we have new people coming in. And so please don't assume that just because you have filled something out that kind of looks like this before, don't assume, please, that I have that information still. This is specifically Igniting Hope communication card, and I will be making out a newsletter once a month that has to do with Igniting Hope. If you would just take a minute or two and fill this information out for me today and turn it in to us, then I will be able to communicate with you the things that our leadership board is doing. Thank you.
Sherry, come forward. My wife, Sherry Johnson, is our special events chair. I'll let her share with you.
This is from 1 Chronicles, and this is David speaking. David also said to Solomon, his son, "Be strong and courageous and do the work. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you until all the work for the service of the temple of the Lord is finished." And then David goes on to say, David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. And now for the best part. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise to your glorious name." And that's where I come in with special events, the opportunities that you will have to be able to celebrate the things that are happening through this campaign. There will be several events, large and small, in the months to come. but I want you right now to take out a pen, pencil, whatever you have, or just memorize this date. Sunday, April the 24th is Celebration Sunday. I'm asking you right now to set everything else aside and hold that date open. It is going to be a life-changing experience in the life of our church. Thank you for the honor of serving you and as we serve the Lord alongside one another.
And then finally, Steve and Sherry, would you come forward? Steve and Sherry Anderson are the co-chairs of our Advanced Commitment Team, and their enthusiasm and excitement are contagious, so I want you to hear from them.
Well, I think you're all wanting me to talk pretty fast anyway because of the time, but it's really because of the enthusiasm. I tell you, we just want to share our excitement of how God is helping us to fulfill his vision. And when Sherry and Kevin ask us to do this job, we say, well, we'll pray about it. We'll go home and pray about it. And a couple days later, well, actually a day later, I said, I just got to go back to the office. I got to ask them a few questions about this. Well, actually, I was kind of acting like Moses, like everybody's already explained, why me? I'm not qualified. But Sherry grabbed the Bible, and she immediately turned to Chronicles 29, 1, and started reading. And I'm like, yeah, I'm familiar with that. We had been studying that just weeks before in Sunday school. I have the 2 and 3 year olds, but there's a lot in it. And so he'd been preparing all of our hearts, all the children's hearts, to know that David, even though he wasn't going to see be the one building the temple, he was willing to provide, make the provisions for it. And he was excited about it. So that was like confirmation to me. Okay, I went home from there very confident that it was not me or Steve that he called, but it's him that wants to do a work through us. And so with that, we had some ups and downs. We began our training, and like Marilyn said, oh, it was phenomenal to, one, be a part of these people and the Holy Spirit that was there. Well, the morning of the first meeting with just this group, before me in our devotion was from Corinthians 15:13, and it said, get rid of the scarcity mentality. I thought, wonderful, very good advice. And so, yeah, he was talking to us, and I know he's there to lead us, to help lead you. Well, I am excited also to see how God plans to ignite this group to help provide hope for the disintegrating family. I'm anxious to see that unfold and how he's going to work through us. So my prayer to you would be, get connected. Start talking to the Lord. Understand, listen for him, because he's talking to you. We just don't always take time, but he wants you to use your talents and abilities to help reach the disintegrating family with hope. So I also want you to remember that the Lord is the catalyst. We are his hands and feet. So just trust in the Lord. And I would just love to go back over the memory verse for today that I would pray that we would all memorize. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Romans 15:13. Together we can do it with the Lord. Thank you.
Worship team, go ahead and come on up. While they're coming up, here's, we're going to praise God for what he's doing in our midst. It would be inappropriate for us not to once again look at what God is doing and be giving him praise and inviting his presence. But in your sermon notes, you had David ask the question, so who is going to consecrate? Who's going to dedicate themselves? These people there are dedicating themselves and saying, this is what we are committed to do. Put April 24th down as a date that you are saving. Be praying for them, and I want us to lead in prayer right now for them. Father, we are a people that have gathered, And we have some people that you have chosen and you have appointed to help lead us through this process as we get about to igniting hope for families throughout our region. Lord, we are large on vision and short on the details right now. Lord, but before you ever work a plan, you call a people, you call a person, and we have seen the evidence of your hand upon this right now. So with the greater body of Christ, we stand and we give you praise this day, and we thank you that you who began a good work in us will continue to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. And when that day comes, Lord, there will be many more throughout this region that will be joining and adding their voices to singing the praises of God as a result of people like us who said, "Who am I?" And with through a heart of humility said, "God, here I am. Now send me and use me." In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand as we sing and praise God?